Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT with you once again here on a Sunday afternoon. Real fast before we jump into it with our guest, if you're looking for wrestling today, NSPW in Franklin, Kentucky for a benefit show today, RWA in High Point, North Carolina, ETW like usual in Paris, Kentucky, EOW in Eugene, Oregon, and Blue Collar Wrestling happening at the North Portland Eagles in Oregon like every Sunday. So get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be. And without further ado, I want to welcome to the show for the first time from Russell Club in Idaho, the Outlaw Rusty Livings. Outlaw, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Sign Guy?
Doing very well, and you yourself were a busy man. I understand you made your debut last night for UCW in Salt Lake City last night, so big things happening for you right now.
Yeah, you know, big things are happening for me, but it's really about carrying the flag of Idaho wrestling, because this particular area that we are in was a black hole for the longest time, and I'm an original member of Wrestle Club, and we created something that has started a fire, and we debuted in UCW.
Well said. Well, since it is your first time here with us, we're going to give you one of our traditional first-timer questions. What led to you getting into the wrestling industry?
Oh, man, 20 years ago, I had sent out a few emails and I'd gotten a response back from APW Wrestling School. And I didn't think nothing of it. They had sent me a flyer, wanted me to fill it out and send it back with my big cash advance, and I didn't. You know, I was a little 18-year-old high school punk. And then they called me, said, hey, we want you to come out. We're interested in bringing in young guys, and for some stupid reason, I turned it down. Fast forward, now, you know, 20 years later, I've got a couple of kids, and the opportunity rose again. I went and saw an independent show. I had seen a flyer at a grocery store, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go. It's wrestling in Idaho. I'm tired of watching on TV. Everything's better live. Watched the show. I knew I wanted to take my kids. It was awesome. I weaseled my way backstage and talked to the promoter and just started going. And my main purpose, I may not make it famous at my age right now, and I'm totally fine with that, but my goal is to open doors and to lay bricks for my kids to get somewhere else that I could not achieve. And if I work a place, I can turn to say, hey, promoter, this is my son. He's been training since he's 16, he's 18 now. Can we give him a shot? I will have succeeded. That's why I got into it.
Now, of course, when you started at Wrestle Club, the fans used to boo you. You weren't always a follower of the rules, but that has changed, and you've become one of the fan favorites there at Wrestle Club. What do the fans mean to the Outlaw Rusty Livings at this point?
Well, the fans really mean everything. And they always have, even though I had a problem with authority, which you never really grow out of. But you learn to work with authority for the sake of the fans. They mean everything to me. There's been moments where I've been knocked out and I stand up, and I'm still trying to get my bearings, and just hearing them cheer me on and send their energy to me, they're cheering me on. I mean, just 4 years ago, I had a flabby dad bod, and they're cheering me on. That's nuts. The fans mean everything. Their energy is vital.
Now, we all have those moments where something happens with a fan that's particularly memorable to the wrestler, be it an interaction with a sick fan or just a fan showing a lot of dedication to following that particular wrestler, what have you. We all have those moments that stick out. What would you say is right now your favorite fan moment?
I gotta say, and it's hard to pick one fan, but I'm gonna select a group. You know, Wrestle Club is a charitable organization. We partner with, you know, people in the community to help them reach their goals. And one of my favorite groups to work with is the Special Olympics of Idaho. And last year, we did an event at Eagle Island here in Eagle, Idaho, which is basically like a lake with an awesome beach on it. We set the ring up on the beach and put on a show, and then everybody jumped in the water. And like that show in particular, getting to hang out with the Special Olympians and jump in the water with them and interact with them, that's something that I'll never forget.
A Wrestle Club, like a lot of the fans will know at this point, has been on broadcast television there in Idaho for quite a while now. It's broadcast all over the state of Idaho and a couple of the surrounding states. You also stream on the Roku channel, so fans anywhere in the world are able to watch the television show and keep up with what is happening in Idaho. What do you think of the television aspect for Wrestle Club? Do you think that that has helped a lot of you get your name more recognized than if you were off of television, or do you think that there's detriments to that as well?
Well, I've always believed that growth comes from challenge. You think about like a crack in the sidewalk, and that dandelion has broke through that crack. Growth comes from challenge. It was challenged by that sidewalk. And, you know, Wrestle Club, we were putting on good shows and putting on good matches, but things didn't really click. They didn't ignite until we started filming each event as if it were an episode. And then it turned into episodes, and our growth came from that challenge. I think it helped us more than anything. And sure, it was a learning curve, because then you got to start thinking, you're used to working the side of the ring where the fans are, and now you gotta concentrate on that. But not only here's the camera, because 50, 60, maybe even 70% of your viewership is through that lens. And so, you know, sometimes you're out there, you're breathing heavy, 100-degree weather, working out in the sun, and the whole time you had your back to the camera. And that's probably the hardest part. I can't think of anything that's detrimental about working on a TV show. The only thing I would recommend is polish your product, or at least polish your three or four key characters to use in each episode before you start to really put yourself out there. You could put out an episode and people could watch it, but there are several people on Facebook, as we all know, that are constantly looking for the worst thing in wrestling just so they can point it out and bash on it. And so, you know, you could almost hurt yourself if you just were to purchase a ring and have one guy that kind of knew what he was doing, and then you filmed it and put it out.
Now, you are going to be a little bit of a different result in this, but for the people that you know at Wrestle Club, do you see the television affecting their everyday lives? Do you see a lot of the people have fans noticing them just when they're out and about around town doing their everyday chores, where do you think that the television brings the fan to the arena, but they keep that separate if they were to see Wrestle Club stars out on the street?
I see what you're saying. I wondered when you said it that it wouldn't affect me as much, being a masked wrestler. But yeah, I've heard from some of the other guys that they'll be at work. We have one guy that's a vending machine delivery driver, and he'll tell me stories where he'll just be doing his everyday job on the same route, and somebody will come up to him and, "Hey, aren't you so-and-so? Oh my gosh, I saw your match with so-and-so," you know? And so I think it has had an effect, not an ego effect, because I think a lot of us, you know, and I could speak for myself as well, I think a lot of us are still humbled by the fact that people are even interested in Idaho wrestling and what we've kind of built. But yeah, I think it has affected some of the guys being able to be noticed. It might have even boosted their confidence.
One of the other forms of publicity that Wrestle Club has gotten in the last couple of years comes from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. It is still the largest wrestling magazine on newsstands, and results from several Wrestle Club shows have appeared in that magazine, as well as in the most recent issue, Wrestle Club was in the top 10 ranking section, which is huge for any independent company. What has it been like being able to go to your local newsstand, picking up a Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and seeing that you're in there?
Well, it is amazing, and we really got to throw a shout out to we call him the Wrestle Club historian, Brian Westcott, but he is a fan of ours that I believe we met through the Special Olympics of Idaho. But I mean, he works hard to write down our results and send those in. But I think this is kind of where I differentiate myself from some people, where it's amazing that we've made it to the largest wrestling publication, but it's not something that I know it's there and I've read it once, but it's not something that I personally memorize and, like, I don't know, put up on a pedestal, just because I feel like that would boost my ego too much, and I want to stay humbled. And that's awesome that we're in the magazine. But on the other hand, I want to concentrate on, you know, the here and now and furthering careers and abilities. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Now, one of the things that every wrestler has to deal with if they're in the business for any length of time at all is injuries. It's just a natural part of professional wrestling. I'm sure 4 years in, you've had a few injuries in your day. What's been some of the ones that you've had to deal with thus far?
Well, I guess my favorite story is right when I started training. It was the first day. We had just gotten a place to set up the ring that wasn't outdoors in the snow. And it was after the first day of training. We were done doing the basics, and I started playing around. I jumped off the second rope, landed, blew out my right knee. And I couldn't walk for a week. I mean, I could walk, but it was with the assistance of a cane. And then I got a knee brace, one of those big mechanical knee braces that stops your leg from bending past 90 degrees, and I continued to train. And I think my debut was in a Royal Rumble and then a tag match, and I still had that knee brace on under my tights because things still weren't working right. That was about 4 years ago. My knee still isn't all there, even though it doesn't hurt or bother me. Last year in the summer, we were at Lakeview Park for a Mother's Day celebration. I was working. I mean, he's a bad guy, but he's fun to work because he lets me hit him hard, Damian Black. And he kicked me in the back of the head, knocked me out. I was face down in the grass. And I mentioned it earlier. That's where you get up and you're kind of wondering what happened. And it's 100 degrees, but you hear the fans cheering you, and you kind of catch your breath and roll in the ring. You know, I've hurt my shoulder. I've jammed my shoulder. You know, when you're getting picked up and thrown down, I dropped my arm behind me, landed on my elbow, and blew my shoulder out. Other than that, I've, you know, knock on wood, I've been kind of fortunate as far as serious injuries go. But I think that's also in a certain way that we work, that I work in that ring.
I mentioned the Rumble match you were in early on. Battle Royals have been around since the early part of last century. It's very, very popular with fans. A lot of wrestlers have varying opinions on Battle Royals. Some enjoy them, some don't. What's your personal thoughts on the Battle Royals?
I like it. I think it's a great break from the normal one-on-one tag team. You know, I mean, you could have a four-way match, but nothing really gets exciting like a 20-man battle royal. And then you could even have a surprise entrance. I love it. I like the chaos of it. You know, I like the challenge, throwing guys over the top, getting hit from behind, having to think on your feet. I think it's great. I would honestly like to see it a little bit more.
One of the other types of matches is something that has been controversial in recent times, that being the death matches. We see shows that have one or two death matches on it. We've seen entire shows of nothing but death matches. There's been proponents for death matches, there's been critics of it, and everything in between. What are your own personal feelings on the death matches?
I think it's definitely got a place. You know, what we're doing harkens back to like the physical theater of Shakespeare. But those death matches go even further back to the bloody gladiator battles in the Roman Colosseum. And, you know, of course, it's more of a modernized version. Back then, they didn't have halogen light bulbs, you know. I think it's definitely got a place. As far as entire shows dedicated to it, that's fine. But every area, every territory is a little bit different. I would like to try it myself. To be honest, I would like to do it, just to have done it. I have a different respect for the guys that do it. Yeah, I think it's definitely got a place still in the sport of professional wrestling.
We have a game on the show that we like to play. We call it Word Association. We'll toss out the names you have come across. First word or two is your answer. Are you prepared for some word association?
Ooh, yeah, let's do it. This sounds good.
All right, here we go. First one, Lost Soul Garibay.
Champion, brother.
Ring announcer, Mei Li.
Ooh, stunning.
Mr. Hickman.
Oh, Beefcake.
Matman.
Mentor.
Kiki Starling.
Now that's a tough one. Determined.
Referee Todd Silver.
Honest.
Salim Abbas.
Coward.
And the final one, Rick Knight.
Oh. Scared.
Alan, your matches, I have seen on occasion you and your opponent exchange knife-edge chops. And I'm sure you have an opinion on this. Whom would you say has the hardest chop that you've ever taken?
Ooh, you know, I'm gonna name two people. I'm gonna pick two, if you don't mind. I want to preface this by saying that chops, to me, are a badge of honor. If you are gonna chop me, and you lay a feather on my chest, I am going to turn you around and turn you red. Having said that, probably my hardest chop, I had received when I was in Salt Lake maybe 2 years ago. I had gotten to work a fella that had came to Utah from CMLL named Super Commando. And we had a chop fest in our match. And people told me before I went out there, don't chop him. Don't get chopped by him. And if you tell me not to push the button, I'm pushing the button. And then I would say here at home, if I had to pick one of my brothers in the locker room here at home, I would have to pick the best chop is from the man who taught me how to chop, and that's Locksoul Garibay.
Now, if you were to take an educated guess out of everyone that is in the wrestling business right now, whom would you presume has the hardest knife-edge chop of people that you've not been in a ring with personally?
Oh, that's hard. That is so tough. I'm going to go, you know, a single person. I'm a big fan of Mexican wrestling, Lucha Libre. Big fan. I'm going to have to say that, like, Mil Muertes, somebody like that, would probably have the hardest knife-edge chop to send you across the ring.
Fair enough. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know he has questions for you as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. Outlaw.
Well, hey, how you doing? Well, thanks for joining us.
Well, we've been at this for 10 years, and we'd officially like to welcome you to the show. Yes.
Well, thank you. I do really appreciate being here. I really do.
Well, Mr. Rusty Sign Guy just got through with the subject of knife-edge chops. What is the hardest knife-edge chop that you have received from a lady wrestler?
Ooh. From a lady wrestler, I haven't been fortunate enough to work a lot of lady wrestlers. I'm going to have to say that in training, teaching Kiki Starling to hit harder was when she gets angry and frustrated, she's got that determination. Like I said earlier, she will slap the crap out of you.
Wow, Kiki Starling. Unfortunately, last week, we had an interview with Kiki Starling, and I was sick, and I didn't get to ask her any of my famous questions. Kiki Starling.
Okay.
That was unfortunate. Okay. Well,
well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, thank you. I am feeling better. Now, Mr. Rusty, you said you were a big fan of lucha wrestling. I've just learned of some sad news. A Mexican lucha wrestler known as La Parca has just passed away from injuries he received in a tragic ring accident. Have you heard of this? Were you a big fan of La Parca?
Yeah, I was. I was a big fan of La Parca all the way through him coming up from AAA into WCW, which is, you know, my heyday of wrestling. I used to put the tinfoil on the antennas so I could watch Azteca Lucha on Telemundo, you know, on free access TV. It's really sad that he did pass away from his injuries that he sustained.
Okay. Yeah, that is. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to read exactly what injuries occurred. I'm just found out about that. But, okay.
Well,
oh, go ahead.
Well, he was going for a suicide dive at a Mexico show, and the way that he came out of the ring and clipped the mid rope caused him to miss his target, and he hit the guardrail head first and then dropped onto his face, and it broke his neck, and then he obviously didn't recover from those injuries.
Oh, boy, those face and neck injuries can really do a wrestler in. A little bit of miscalculation in force and leverage, especially when it concerns ropes. Ropes can be, boy, that's rough. Okay.
Well, it's a high-risk maneuver by name, and high-risk, high-reward, but he, was on the other end of that.
And speaking of head injuries and blows to the head, Mr. Rusty, how many concussions have you had throughout your career, would you estimate?
Like I said, knock on wood, I have been fortunate that I haven't had a concussion yet. I've come close when I got kicked in the head and was knocked out, but doctors said that it wasn't a concussion. So, right now, I haven't had any, knock on wood, quotes.
Oh, okay. Wow, very good. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Rusty, have you ever used the song Ghost Riders in the Sky, which is a song about an outlaw band of cowboys who forever in time tried to catch the devil's herd of cows?
Ooh, I've wanted to. Ever since I was a little kid, I went up to my mom and I told her I wanted to wear all black. And she said, "Why, Rusty? Why do you want to wear all black?" I said, "Because my hero, Johnny Cash, wears all black and he's a rock star." I would love to use that song, but unless I steal it, I'm not paying for the rights to it.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Do you yourself believe Johnny Cash was the original goth spokesperson, since he dressed up
in
black?
Well, I don't know about goth, but maybe, what we define as goth is more modernized than what it would have been in the 60s, the 50s and 60s, when he was coming up touring with Buddy Holly.
Yes.
But
were you a big
definitely. Oh, go ahead.
Were you a big fan of his performance at Folsom Prison?
Yeah. I mean, that was one of his iconic performances, and he performed there as kind of a big middle finger, if you will, to his record label. And so I can stand up for that. I mean, we already talked about my thoughts on working with authority.
Yes. You would have been a good mobster.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Rusty, Death Proof Coffee is a sponsor of Wrestle Club. Do you use a medium or large coffee, Death Proof, as one of your pre-match perk-ups?
Oh, I go with a medium. I prefer a little French vanilla, no ice. I like it extra hot.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's good. I'm going to have to try that Death Proof coffee when I do make my trip out to Idaho. Yes, I will have to try that.
Well, if you're getting over being sick, their coffee is so strong, it'd probably make the sickness leave you.
Wow, fantastic. All right. Okay. Huh. All right. Well, Rusty, I saw your YouTube video entitled Episode 26, Wrestle Club, BCAF Day 2, 2018. And of course, the BCAF, standing for Boise Comic Art Festival. Now, in the video, you were announced at the 19 minute and 20 second mark. That's when you made your video entrance. The announcer said you were from the Idaho Department of Corrections. My question is the Idaho Department of Corrections a maximum security prison, or I mean a minimum security prison for nonviolent offenders, or is it a level 5 maximum security prison for the worst of the worst, such as Pelican Bay Maximum Security Prison in Northern California, or Colorado's Maximum Security Prison, which houses such infamous people as Joe Carcinia, the Boston Marathon bomber, Terry Nichols, the Oklahoma City bomber, or even Eric Rudolph, the Centennial Olympic Park bomber of Atlanta. Which of these prisons, which level is the Idaho Department of Correction that you serve? Is it a minimum or maximum?
You know, your research department is phenomenal. I just want to point that out. You know, if I were to divulge that information of what kind of prison it is that I've been to and that I am on release from, I would be almost burying myself, for lack of a better term. Because you said I would have made a good mobster, and I mean, how do you know who we really are under that mask?
That's a very good point. Very good point. Well, Mr. Rusty, you'll be amazed that I actually tried to call Pelican Bay Maximum Security Prison and the ADX Supermax Federal Prison in Florence, Colorado, to see if you were an inmate, but they wouldn't give me any information.
That's right. Tight lips.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, you wouldn't want to be next in a cell to Joe Carcinia, the Boston Marathon bomber, anyway. He doesn't know anything about wrestling.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to be in the cell next to him, you know, just because of his mentality and the things that he's done. They would probably have to move me to solitude if I was in the cell next to him because of what would take place when the lights are out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that guy needs to experience the leg lock. That's for sure. Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, Rusty, in that video entitled Episode 26 Wrestle Club, one of the commenters said that the fans made the mask that you wore to the ring. Did these same fans visit you while you were an inmate? Can we at least get that? The fans that made the mask. Oh.
Yep. They did visit me. They were actually orphans that I had worked with, you know, because that's kind of where I came from, and so that's my soft spot. These kids, they're orphaned. They have to live in a house with tons of other kids and these caretakers that really don't care, you know, and so they gave me a token of their appreciation. And I still gladly wear that mask every time I come through that curtain.
Fantastic. It looked like a very good mask. Speaking of which, how many masks do you have? Do you have about 4?
You're right. I have 4 masks. I've got 2 that I bought down in Mexico, and then I've got 1 that was made for me that we just talked about, and another one that I keep for special occasions.
Wow, fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Outlaw, you certainly have the ink like a tatted up inmate. What is the tattoo on your upper chest right below your collarbones? Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what that ink is about?
All right. Well, it's called the Death Bat. In the center is the skull with the river of blood coming from his mouth inside a coffin, and the wings have broken out of the coffin, that even through death, I will fly. Kind of like the Rise of the Phoenix. And I'm a fan of heavy metal music. I'm a fan of outlaw music. And one of those musicians, modern musicians, is Wednesday 13. And he has something similar tattooed on his chest. And I wasn't going to copy him because that's not my bag. But as a tribute to those outlaw musicians that I look up to, that's the tattoo that I wear on my chest.
Wow, very, very good. Were you a big fan of Lemmy, a Motorhead?
Yeah. Yes, I was.
Man, now talk about an outlaw image. He certainly could down that Jack Daniels at the Rainbow Whiskey Room. At the Rainbow and the Whiskey Room in Los Angeles. He was there every day, kind of like Norm with Cheers, drinking his Jack Daniels.
Yes, indeed. You know, and that's the sad thing about him passing away, isn't it? He won't create more iconic music that we all know. The sad thing about it is that I wouldn't be able to sit there and challenge him to a drinking contest.
No, he pretty much had his levels of tolerance up there after about 20 years straight. Yes.
But growth through challenge. Growth through challenge, though. Don't forget.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Now, Mr. Outlaw, were you concerned about your opponent's announced weight of 220 pounds for Aiden Ray? Because he was announced at 220 pounds. Did this concern you?
No. Nope. I fear no man. Just last night, I was in Salt Lake City, Utah, and the man that I fought was billed at 300 pounds. At that point, it's all strategy.
Wow, yeah, 300 pounds. Whew, boy, yes. You better have a damn good strategy. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, Mr. Outlaw, is it true what Aiden Ray says, that there are no more heroes? Would you agree with that statement?
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
Oh, okay. Well, would you consider that there's slightly less heroes nowadays sticking to their keyboards than in the 70s and 80s? Would you agree with that?
Your question is there more keyboard heroes than actual people doing heroic things?
Yes, that's the gist of what I was getting at, the premise.
Okay. I do, however, agree with that. I think that humanity has lost the general feeling that if you were driving down the road and saw a house on fire, most people would take a picture of it with their phone instead of pulling up and offering assistance.
That's true. Things have gotten very weird out there with cell phones. In fact, there's some people that take a tour of Auschwitz, World War II prison camp, the one that has our light mock cry on the entrance when you enter, and they're taking selfies at the prison camp. Boy, talk about it.
Yeah, isn't,
low. Yes.
Isn't that crazy? To me, that is nuts. Like, that would be a really interesting place to visit and learn the history and be there, you know, with all of the history that happened on that land, you know, be it somewhat negative history, but it's our world history. But to stand there and take some sort of cute Instagram selfie, that's nuts. Yeah, that's the degrade of society there.
Yeah, that's why I probably won't visit there, because I myself would have to come out of retirement and have a drop toe hold on one of them, and then I'd probably get sued. Yes.
Yeah, and they are so happy. You are 100% correct on that.
Okay. Well, Mr. Outlaw, at the 26-minute and 22-second mark of the match against Aiden Reyes, you hit him with a clothesline, then a hip toss, and then a heel kick to the chest. This shows that you have good cardio. Do you yourself run up hills as part of your training?
Yes. Yep. As a matter of fact, the phrase that I have coined is that I am a cardio monster. I work at a Halloween production, and a lot of what I do is running the trails back and forth all the time through these scenes, and most of the time in costume. I am a cardio monster.
Wow, very good. Wow, good. That's very important. Okay. Well, Mr. Outlaw, at the 32-minute and 40-second mark of the video, you had Aiden Reyes in trouble outside the ring when suddenly Aiden shoved a female fan into you as a distraction. But it did not buy him any time as you hit him with a forearm to his jaw and then shoved him back into the ring. But then you took a few steps toward the female fan, who was dressed like a black and white zebra, and she hit you with what looked like a purple clipboard. And that enabled Aiden to get a spine shocker on you and throw you back in the ring for a three count. My question is, have you ever found out the identity of this female fan that was dressed like a zebra?
Yeah, that zebra. That was his assistant. He had brought some sort of bookkeeper with him to that event. And I know that she was out there and that was his assistant. I think she even came to the ring with him. But I went out there. He had shoved her, which you don't push women. And I went out there to check on her, and she hits me on the head with the clipboard. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocking turn.
Yeah, now that I'm in UCW, though, I'll find Adam. I'll find him.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Rusty, did you know that there are unconfirmed reports in the Northwest Wrestling Circle that Aiden Reyes allegedly ate chocolate cake off a wrestling mat that had seen action for about an hour and a half? He actually ate cake off a mat. Have you heard any of these rumors that are unsubstantiated?
I haven't heard those rumors. However, I would not be surprised that he actually did that.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I have never come across in any video, but I don't know. In my dim recollection, I think I may have seen such an event.
Well, Adam Reyes loves wrestling like a fat kid loves cake, so I'm not surprised that he loves cake.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Rusty, you mentioned at the start of the show that you hope your sons follow in your wrestling footsteps. Do they currently wrestle in high school?
They do. They do wrestle in high school. I've got a freshman in high school right now, and he's on the wrestling team. And that's an important building block to being a good professional wrestler.
Oh, wow, freshman. Okay. What is his weight? Is it right around the 122-pound class?
No, he's a little bit lighter. He's right around the 100 class.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Rusty, if you could travel back in time and had a choice of a tag team partner, who would you choose, Bruno Sammartino or Lou Thesz?
Lou Thesz. Good option, but I would go with Lou Thesz.
Okay. All right, Lou Thesz. What's the top two reasons you would choose Lou Thesz over Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I take a lot of A lot of what I do in the ring has been inspired by Luthez, to be honest, because I watch and study a lot. And as a kid, I'd gone to a yard sale and I'd picked up an old encyclopedia of professional wrestling. And sure, a lot of the pages were dedicated to the big stars, but then there was a lot of pages dedicated to the, you know, like the AWA legends, like Luthez. And he, from that book, he was just one of those ones that had always stuck with me. And he's one of those ones that I always look at and study.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Luthez, I'm going to mark that down. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Outlaw, we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. And you have to make a choice between two subject matters, bearing in mind that there is no right or wrong answer. Are you ready to play this game?
Yeah. Yeah, let's play.
Okay. Scottish kilt or three-piece Armani suit?
Why not both? Scottish kilt. Scottish kilt.
Yeah, right. Scottish kilt. Okay. Clint Eastwood or Bruce Lee?
Clint Eastwood.
Okay. Mr. 357. Okay. Very good. Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris?
Oh, right. The Dragon or Walker Texas Ranger. I'm going to go with Bruce Lee.
Okay. Drop toe hold or front face lock?
Front face lock.
All right. Tomato soup or double cheeseburger?
Well, it depends on how bad I got beat up the night before. I'm gonna go with tomato soup.
Okay. The Wild Samoans or the Midnight Rockers?
Oh, how do you make a choice between those two? You know, I think right now I'm going to go with the Midnight Rockers.
Okay. The Midnight Express or the British Bulldog?
Midnight Express.
All right. Demolition or the Brain Busters?
Let's go with Demolition. I like leather and studs.
Okay, leather and studs, which I might point out to our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, sometimes that helps in a prison setting.
Yeah, intimidation is key. Intimidation.
Oh, yes, intimidation. Not submissive. No, that's terrible.
No.
Okay. All right. The Heart Foundation or the Fabulous Freebirds?
Oh, I have always wanted to train in the dungeon. I'm going to go with the Heart Foundation.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. The Rock and Roll Express or the Road Warriors?
Rock and Roll Express.
All right. Apple pie or cherry?
Warm apple pie.
Okay. Warm apple pie. Okay. Tony Soprano or Henry Hill?
I'm going to go with Henry Hill.
Oh, okay. Henry Hill or the Goodfellas. Okay. All right. Sting or Splash or Thez Pret?
I utilize both of those. I'm going to go with the Luthez Press.
Okay. All right. Flying forearm smash or Samoan headbutt?
Oh, the flying forearm. I can't do a Samoan headbutt.
Okay. All right. And the last one, eye poke or low blow?
I'm going to go with eye poke, just because it's easier to get away with.
No, all right. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Outlaw, you played a very good game of Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. Very well. I congratulate you. Okay. Now, Mr. Outlaw, in any of your matches, have you attempted to use an athletic cup you were wearing as a foreign object? And if so, were you successful?
You know, I haven't. I haven't really thought about that just because I don't wear an athletic cup. But I don't know if I would use the cup, per se, as much as the jock that holds the cup.
Oh.
You know, like a camel clutch with the jock over the nose, you have to tap out.
Oh, okay. Yes. Wow, all right. Well, Mr. Outlaw, have you ever been in the ring with a wrestler known as Super Commando? And if so, have you ever wrestled Super Commando in Salt Lake City?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. How did Super Commando differ in style with Adam Ray? Which one was stronger and more agile?
Super Commando. I got to say, probably one of my favorite matches still to date was with Super Commando in Salt Lake.
Okay, now I believe that was inside in a wrestling venue, inside, and the match in Idaho with Aiden Reyes was outside. Which do you prefer?
Well, that's hard because it depends on the time of season. I wrestle outside at the Idaho Potato Drop, which is their New Year's celebration, in 10-degree weather. And, of course, that's not fun. But I think I would rather wrestle outside. I would rather wrestle outside.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Outlaw, thank you for appearing on the show. You did very good. Bring on the choice. Bring on the funk. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Stein Guy.
All right. Well, hey, thank you.
Hey, no problem. Very good. Back to you, Stein Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Outlaw, here in our neck of the woods, we are preparing for what experts predict will be a pretty decent snowstorm. You referenced the potato drop, which is held outside every New Year's and oftentimes in extremely cold temperatures. Fans may not appreciate the dangers involved in performing outdoors in those type of temperatures. It affects the actual ring itself. It makes the boards much harder, makes the ropes a little bit tighter. The muscles can tear and rip a little bit easier from being cold. What preparations do you take when wrestling on the potato drop shows that are different from what your normal preparation would be?
Well, and preparation is key. So for something like the potato drop, when I would work out, I would make sure not to wear warm clothes to, like, bring on the sweat, if you understand that. Yeah, acclimate myself to the cold. So, yeah, sure, you can lift weights, but if I'm prepping for the potato drop, I'll go outside and work out in the cold. Because I wrestle without a shirt on. And even in that cold weather, I'm still going to wrestle without a shirt on because I'm prepared for it.
Now we're down to the last few minutes of our show today, and I want to make sure that you have ample time. So if you would like to say anything to the listeners today, if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything and everything, the social media, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite ice cream shop, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on the show, Sign Guy. I would like to plug Idaho Wrestle Club. We'll be at Death Proof February 1st, 7 p.m. You can get merchandise from all of your favorite wrestlers. Always available at the show. If you buy it in person, you can save on shipping costs, which for some reason a lot of people don't get, but save yourself that $3 or $4. You can, however, order merchandise off of our Facebook page. My merchandise, my outlaw bandanas, are made in such a way that you can wear them around your face and be an outlaw yourself. You can order those directly from me or the Wrestle Club website, Facebook page. February 8th, I'm going to be in Salt Lake City once again at UCW. Make sure you come out, watch the live stream if you can't make it. And I don't really have a favorite ice cream shop to think about it. I haven't eaten ice cream for a couple of years now.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, Outlaw, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. I appreciate it greatly. And best of luck to you going into the big show on the 1st. And hopefully we will do this again very soon. And I'm sure I will see you again at some point in the not-too-distant future.
Hey, once again, thank you. And I do hope to see you again. It's always a pleasure having you in our locker room and soaking in the knowledge. Because like I said, I'm a student of the game. I like to study.
Absolutely. And it definitely shows because you keep improving and improving out there in Idaho. All of the Wrestle Club members working very hard and improving constantly. Oh, fans, definitely, if you're anywhere near Idaho, and if you get the chance to see Rusty Livings in Idaho or anywhere else where he may appear, definitely go buy a ticket and do so. If you're not near the Outlaw, you can check him out on the Roku. Wrestle Club does have their television show available on the Roku device, so check it out. And we will be back with you next week. Next Friday, we will be back with Northwest Pro Month with Chris Marks. And 1 week from today, resuming Wrestle Club Month, we will have the Spud Brothers Coalition with us. Should be a great time next week. So get out there, support your local independents, and we will talk to you soon.
That was a lot of fun. Hello?